Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses. And I'm kind of anal about the way I do my interviews. I schedule my day perfectly. I should have been done by now, but I refuse to leave because I had to interview today's guest. If you're looking at what happened in COVID and you're looking for an example of an entrepreneur who turned a difficult situation around, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody better than today's guest. Barry Baumgartner is someone who produces events, live events for some of the biggest names in the online education space. I didn't know this. Stu McLaren, who does Tribe, do you produce his event?
We do. Yeah. It's Stu McLaren, Russell Brunson, Jeff
Funnel
Walker.
Hacker Live. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to make sure that Funnel Hacker Live is one of the best events because people are so freaking proud to be associated with it. They will not just post photos of themselves at the event. They buy ads to promote the fact that they were on stage at the event. That's how good it is that they're so proud to. Anyway, sorry. You were giving the names of other people whose live events you were hosting before COVID. Who are some of the other ones?
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, Russell produces an amazing event. Russell and the team, we'd love being affiliated with that event. Yeah, we also work with Jeff Walker, Pete Vargas, Ryan Levesque, Fabian Fredrickson, Lisa Sasevich, Dean Graziosi, Tony Robbins. So some names you probably know in the space. So we're pretty lucky to have a great client list.
The company she runs is Sage. They produce live events. And one of the examples of how organized you are, somebody came in before we started recording and moved your mic. I swear it couldn't have been more than half an inch away. I said, I'm going to show you how to record, which is what I do for my guests to make sure we have a backup recording. He came in and said, Andrew, I've got another recording system over here. Do you mind if we use ours? I go, no, I love that you've got an extra system to record. I love that everything is so taken care of. Anyway, obviously you can't do live in-person events. And what Sage did is pivot to online and did it in a way that is extraordinary and is frankly, are you guys doing better financially with your right now post COVID than you were before?
Ironically, it looks like this will be one of our best years ever. I mean, if you told me that 60 days ago, or even honestly, 45 days ago, 30 days ago, but it's been a pretty quick pivot. And in this space, it's making a big difference. And we'll talk about how and why here. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be a banner year. And not just for us, for our clients. I mean, the great news about this is that virtual events are outperforming their in-person counterparts. Wow. So if we were to take the same exact event that we produced for Jeff Walker last week, PLF Live, and compare it to PLF Live last year or the year before that or the year before that or the year before that, best year ever this year doing it virtually.
That's shocking because the whole benefit I thought of events was getting the in-person. All right, we're going to find out how she did this thanks to two phenomenal sponsors. And I also want to find out a little bit about what Sage was doing before this because you really produce and are involved with amazing events. We can do this thanks to two phenomenal sponsors. The first is actually a company that we both know and just mentioned. It's ClickFunnels, but ClickFunnels does not want me to tell you that I love their landing pages. I love their funnels. They just want me to tell you that they've got a new podcast. It's called Traffic Secrets. You want to know the secret to getting traffic? Subscribe to that podcast, Traffic Secrets. And the second sponsor is the company that will host your website, right? If you're hosting a business, I want you to host it with HostGator. And I'll tell you about somebody whose business I hosted with HostGator, but we'll do that later. Can you give me a sense of the numbers, Barry? Are we talking about how much before and how much after?
Yeah, so this is really interesting. Let's take two quick examples. So one is a smaller event, just to make it achievable for your audience. It would have been 300 people in person in Indianapolis. It literally was one of the first events to get shut down by COVID. The city of Indianapolis decided that they weren't first no sporting events and then no live events. We had about 3 weeks to pivot, went from 300 in person to 1,200 virtual. We normally generate about 600,000 from their in-person event. These are enrollment events selling what we call a high ticket offer. And, you know, serving our people, like we think of live events as a purpose-driven payday, meaning that we really want to extend impact and we want to make income, right? We really want to have impact before income. So when we look at our high ticket offer and our live events, it's like, how can we serve people first before we sell them? And so one of the biggest tragedies of COVID is not being able to have in-person gatherings. I mean, people live for these in-person events. They look forward to it every year. They're put on their calendars. It's going to make or break their business in some cases. And so when we were shut down, this is a big deal. So we're like, okay, let's take it virtual. We had less than 3 weeks. It became, you know, 1,200 people. The great thing is they stuck with us for all 3 days. I want to come back to that in just a sec, but we had them for 3 full days and we generated 720,000. Now keep in mind the year before it was 600, which is a banner year for them. But we did 720,000. But the really great news is not only did it gross more, it netted more because the liability and the overhead is so much less. I mean, you're spending significantly less on a virtual event than you are in an in-person event.
And what about you? What's your cut of this? How do you get paid?
Yeah, we charge a flat fee in many cases. And depending on the client, the size of the event, we sometimes take a percentage. So it very much depends on the client and how much we're involved in their enrollment strategy and producing the event and then actually helping to close sales at the back of the room.
Oh, you help the close sales too.
We do. We're very much involved.
$20,000 is because people are buying it seems like more than 50% is coming from people buying the mastermind or whatever they're offering.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I think for most of our clients, not all, but for most of our clients, they're often going from launch to live event, meaning they're launching some program. Let's take, you mentioned Stu McLaren, for example. So people who bought the Tribe course now get a ticket to Tribe Live, and to claim that ticket, they pay a materials fee or refundable deposit. When they show up, we give them that deposit back. So oftentimes we're not making big money on the front end on tickets. We're making it on sponsorship, on VIP experiences, and on the advanced course. But you also have other clients who charge an outright ticket fee, anywhere from, you know, $197 to $1,697, or in the case of Dean and Tony and Knowledge Broker World Summit, it's as high as $3,000 for a ticket.
All right. You were in Puerto Rico just before this whole thing hit. What were you doing in Puerto Rico?
Yeah. So funny story. We are in Puerto Rico meeting with Stu McLaren and tweaking some of our messaging. If you guys don't know Stu, check out Stu McLaren and Tribe. And I think he's one of the best people at creative messaging. So we were paying him for a strategy day to refine some of our messaging. And we were all kind of sitting around saying, yeah, this COVID thing is not really a thing. Like the airports are full. People are still flying. The media is just making too much of this. The next day we flew out to Miami for a live event that we were producing for a client. And literally over the course of 3 days, just the bad news kept rolling in. And by the time we left Miami, we went home on a flight that literally, I think there were 20 seats that were taken. So you know, that was how fast the world changed from flying to Puerto Rico on a Monday, having a meeting on a Tuesday, flying to Miami on a Wednesday, flying home the next Monday. Radical shift.
And you know, this is in March.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. In March. Yeah. Yeah. And that was the last event that we've done. So first we pivoted to Indianapolis and then we did the quick pivot for another client, Pete Vargas, who some of your people may know.
Before we get to Pete, you're saying Indianapolis was the very first time when did the first event that you're supposed to do live that you had to at the last minute go online. Was there a freak out moment? I feel like everything about you is so organized that I can't imagine you freaking out. Was there a freak out moment at Sage?
You know, we didn't really. I mean, this is strange. I've been unbelievably calm during this whole thing. But I think part of that comes from the fact that when you work with some of the names that we do producing live events like we do, there's always a last minute pivot. There's always a shift. Like no matter how nailed down things are, especially if you're really good at enrollment events, you know, if you're reading the room and something seems off, you tweak it, you change it in the moment. So we're pretty used to that. I mean, we often say that a lot of event hosts, certainly corporate, nonprofit, are kind of like the Titanic. If you see an iceberg up ahead, by the time you get everyone agreed to turn the ship, you've slammed into the side of it. But our hosts are like sailboats. If we see something wrong up ahead, we tack with the wind. So we're a company that's used to tacking. So we tacked pretty hard in March.
Okay. And so immediately you said, we're going to go online. And then you had to go back to the people who bought tickets. Did they buy tickets at that event?
They had purchased tickets and we went back to them and said, you can either push your ticket to next year, we're postponing to next year, or you can attend this new event that's going to take place in its place. It's a bit of an experiment. We'd love for you to come on the journey with us. And we promise you, it's going to be different than anything you've ever seen. And it's going to be an amazing experience. If you're not happy, we'll 100% refund your money.
And what percentage of people said they wanted their money back?
We had less than 10.
Wow.
Let me rephrase. We had less than 10 who didn't take us up on coming to the event, and we had zero refunds. So everyone loved the event. And
either they said, give it to me next year or I'll take it right now, but nobody said, give me my money back.
No, 290 said, I'm coming to the new event that's happening right now. And 10 said, you know what? I don't know about that. I'll postpone to next year. And of the 290 that showed up, plus the additional, to do the math here, 900 that registered in addition to them, no refunds.
900 who registered. Oh, just once they knew that it was going to be live only, others yes. jumped in, got it. So why do you think that it did better than because it was online?
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. We've been asking ourselves that a lot lately. I mean, I think first of all, one of the things you have to keep in mind is if you're going to take your in-person event, especially if it's a 3-day, and we specialize in 3 days, if you have a 3-day live in-person event and you're going to transition it to virtual, you can't treat it like a webinar. It's not a 3-day webinar and it's not a live stream. I mean, we've been doing live streams for years. It can't be that. Like, no one's going to sit at home with their kids, their dogs, a parrot, a llama, you know, their neighbor, whoever's in their house at the time. And sit with you for 12 hours a day for 3 days. It's just too much to ask. So what keeps them there is a high degree of interactivity. Like, these events are highly interactive. For example, we actually have a check-in process. Like, when's the last time you went to a webinar and you were asked to actually check in? Not just register, sign up, but to check in.
What do you mean by check in?
It means that for up to 2 days before the event starts, depending on the size of the event, a day to 2 days, everyone who's attending the event has to go through a virtual registration. They have to check in. And when they click on the link to check in, it takes them to a live member of our team who says, "Hi, Jane, it's great to see you. Let's make sure your audio is working."
Via chat? What? Via chat?
It is in person via Zoom. They're seeing us in a Zoom meeting.
Each person has a one-on-one Zoom?
Every person gets
scheduled ahead using like Calendly or Acuity scheduling.
We actually have created a custom dashboard that allows them to click the link, go straight to a dashboard where our team is going to directly help them one to one. Or if multiple people show up at the same time, kind of like in-person registration, we introduce them to one another. It's like, "Jane, where are you from? Bob, where are you from? Well, you guys should get to know each other."
And they might both be on the Zoom at the same time.
Yes.
And so why do you need to do that? What are you doing by greeting everyone one-on-one?
I think it's critical, Andrew, because if you've ever been to an in-person event, you wouldn't let somebody walk into your ballroom without a badge on. Like, have you ever seen that? Like, you go to an in-person event and people just wander in? No, they have to check in. There's a process.
What's the benefit of that? I hate getting the badge. It's such a pain. What's the benefit of making somebody wait to be greeted or of being greeted like that?
Well, first of all, there's little wait. We have not had issues with wait at all. We're fully staffed, and so there isn't wait, and we can manage the traffic. But I think the real advantage is that this was a new platform, right? We're using Zoom, which people have used before, but not in this way. And we did not want the beginning of the meeting to be sidetracked by a million people saying, "I don't know how to turn my video on," or "I don't know how to mute and unmute," or "I'm not sure how to raise my hand." We wanted to start on time with no tech issues, and we did. So that's really, really critical. And the other thing is, we wanted to draw a line in the sand that this was not a webinar. If you ask anybody, and we've been doing a lot of free online trainings lately, in every audience we say, when we say virtual event, what do you think of? Just type it in the chat. What do you think of? And every person types in webinar or live stream. And this is neither. And so in order for you to recalibrate their experience, you have to let them know it's different. Required check-in. Required. You can't come in unless you go through check-in. We're making sure they understand tech. Here's one other fun thing we did. We sent them swag boxes, all of them. When's the last time that someone, like a FedEx guy, knocked on your door and gave you a gift and said, "Here's all the stuff you're going to need for your event"? Immediately, you know, this is not a webinar, because now you've gotten a gift, you've gotten swag, you've got all your materials, and you've had check-in, and you know exactly how the tech works. So immediately you're kind of hooked, like, "Oh, I want to be there on time, because whatever this is, it's something I haven't seen before, and I want to be part of that."
FedEx for everybody of sending it out?
Yes.
What'd you use for that? You internally did it. It doesn't seem like you.
We worked with the fulfillment house to do that.
Like a Ship Bob or someone where you send them the stuff.
We use Brand Elevate. I mean, we've used a couple different companies, but we really love Brand Elevate. They do an incredible job.
Okay. I keep name dropping. I want to see the companies that you use. I feel like if you're using them, you've probably scrutinized them to the level that I need to scrutinize them. So you sent them stuff. They get it in the mail or in FedEx. They're greeted by somebody. They know that their audio is going to work, that they're not going to have any tech issues.
Yes.
And then what happens next?
And there are no replays or recordings, and we let them know that well in advance. So just like a real in-person meeting, I mean, you wouldn't sit up in your room, miss a session, and come down to the help desk and say, "Hey, I was up in my room and I missed this session. Can you give me an immediate replay or recording so I can get caught up?" So there is none of that. They have to be present to be there to experience it.
What about this? The big reason why I go is so that I can do my scotch night, so that I can have breakfast with people, so I can wander around, so that I can get on a scooter and go through Austin with somebody new. How do you do that? How do you get that in-person interaction?
Yeah, that's a great question. I can't replicate your scooter through Austin. At least I haven't figured that one out yet. But the things that I think really do still work are virtual happy hours. We are doing them at every event and people love them.
With a small group of people or a few, everybody together?
Yeah, so this is interesting. So it depends on whether you're a general attendee or whether you've purchased a VIP upgrade experience. But depending on which camp you fall into, we have different experiences. But let's say that you're in VIP upgrade and we've promised you an Ask Me Anything Q&A session or a networking reception. We actually can send you into a Zoom room. We're going to greet you warmly. We're going to tell you to come BYOC, bring your own cocktail, right? BYOC, bring your own cocktail. And we're going to basically greet you, have some interaction, get you warmed up. And then we're going to say, okay, let's have some facilitated networking. Here's what we want you to do to start to get to know each other. We give them a structure for that. We remind them, and then we send them into breakouts. The breakouts are 4 to 6 people. So it's super easy for them to network around this question. Timer shows up and lets them know that their time for networking is up. It drops them back into the main reception.
Let me take a moment here. I'm not as nice as you, so I interrupt a lot. I feel like you're not the kind of person I should be interrupting, but I got to keep being myself.
Yeah.
Breakout rooms are a feature in Zoom that nobody ever uses. What it allows you to do is if you have a big meeting, you can take 4 people and tell them, go do this thing. Another 4 people, go do that thing. One of the things that I know that my son benefited from in school was getting together one-on-one with one of the other students and reading to each other. In that setting, the kid can't fudge it the way he could if he's doing it on his own. And with the teacher looking at everybody, well, the teacher can't look at everybody, right? They just don't know how to use that. Nobody does. I've tried to use it in our own company meetings, but there's just not a point to doing it. You seem to have found a solution.
I have to give all the credit to my husband. Yeah, my husband Blue, who's also responsible for, you know, all the tech wizardry right now, but the one who adjusted the mic is Blue. But Blue basically worked with a good friend of ours who owns an AV production company, and you know, you can imagine AV companies have lots of equipment sitting around right now. And we built a studio that we call Zoomzilla. And it basically allows us to put all these different Zoom rooms together at scale. So essentially, let me give you an example. We had 3,000 people for our second virtual event. We took those 3,000 people from a general session into breakout rooms of 6 people each. So they were all happening at the same time. So we found a way to link them all together so that you can, at scale, send people into a breakout room of 4 or 6 or 8 people. And you can kind of think of that as the equivalent at an in-person event of sitting at a round table. Like if you've ever been to a general session and you walk in and the tables are set in rounds and the host says, you know, I want you to network or share or do an exercise at your table. That's how we look at it as a breakout room.
And you have one button that you could press that breaks people out?
Right now, it's more like 16 buttons that
get
pushed really quickly.
You still have to select the people almost and then put them into rooms. But then once you do, it's a nicer experience for them. All right. Yes. I didn't realize until last year that a lot of these events make their money from the upsell more than they do from the event itself, which when I discovered it, I looked like a boob for not knowing it up until then. How do you replicate that without feeling like a webinar?
Well, one thing that's critical, I mean, I hate to think of it as an upsell. I think of it as an invitation. And so, you know, basically the way we're looking at this is from a sales as service approach. I mean, we're doing everything in our power to serve these people for 3 days, give them incredible content and ahas and connection and a community of like-minded people. And I think if you do that right, what ends up happening in the middle of a 3-day event is they come to you and say, how do I get more of this? How do I get more amazing content? How do I get more connections like this? How do I stay connected to this community of like-minded people? And we're like, great, I can see that you have a problem. Like you're in a certain amount of pain over where you want to be and where you are and how to stay in this incredible space we've created. Here's the good news. We have a solution for that. It's an invitation to join us in our program. So those programs are generally what we call the high ticket offer. And yeah, it is, you know, in our world, generally anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 to join one of those programs. And yes, it is where we make the bulk of our money, but it's also where we perform the bulk of our service.
All right, let me come back and then ask you about how you got started in business here. And when you got started, I was on your LinkedIn profile. I I don't see a start date on it. Yeah. I feel like you've manicured.
Our website, my LinkedIn, might be like one of the worst. We don't spend a lot of time there.
No, your website's good. The LinkedIn is almost like you've manicured it to give me just enough that I have some satisfaction, but not everything. I'm going to come back and ask you about that in a moment. But let me tell you about this. The best Zoom session that I did recently was with Drew from the zoo. My kids were asking me questions about insects. I didn't have the answers. I went to Google, of course. I went to Wikipedia. I couldn't come up with the answers. And then I went on Twitter and I said, does anybody know an entomologist who can get on with a 3- and 5-year-old and help them answer the questions that they're curious about? I figured somebody's got to be out there. Sure enough, someone was. This guy, Andrew, from the San Diego Zoo. And he said, sure, we're basically furloughed right now. We're not doing anything. I'll get on Zoom with your kids. The day before, I say, can I invite their friends? There are a couple of friends that they hadn't seen in a while. I said, sure, the more the merrier. We get in. He greets them holding a snake, a little tiny snake. And so immediately he gets the kids' attention. And then he says, does anyone want to see this? Do you know what it is? He asks some questions. They answer the questions. He says, does anyone want to see my snake eat? He needs to eat today. You know, the snake eats only every, I think it was week or 10 days. And anyway, amazing. And then throughout, he's answering their questions. He's teaching them about this animal. And then he brings another snake and another animal from his house and another, right? Just because he has animals and he loves it and he loves kids. We're done. And I say, thank you. Is there anything I could do for you? He goes, no, everything's fine. I said, what are you doing these days? He goes, I'm furloughed. I just don't know. I said, you should be charging for this. He says, I would love to. I don't even know how to get started with that. I love being at the zoo. And what this is rekindling in me is the old experience I had teaching kids. I went to school to teach kids. I said, what if I build you a website and you offer tickets to people to come and do this? Because I paid for worse sessions than this for my kids. He goes, well, sure, I whatever I can do to help. So I built him a website. I went to hostgator.com/Mixergy because I like to save money too. I signed up. Within minutes, I had a website. My biggest pain was I got a little carried away with the design. And then I said, stop it. Scrap the whole design. Went for black and white. Described what he is. And then I said, what do you think of this? I showed it to him. He goes, it's amazing. He gave me an amount that he wanted to earn. I did 3x that per hour, right? It's just because it's a good looking website. It's functional. It works. And I did it all because I use HostGator. If anyone out there, and we're going to do this Friday of this week. If anyone out there has got a business idea, this is the time to get creative. I'm not talking about to make big money, which you might, but I'm saying get creative. Put this out there. If we got no sales, would he have been happy? Yes, because he's been dying to do this. If we got 3 sales, would he have been? Yes, he's sitting at home. He's now getting to be creative. And you know what I got? Barry, I got out of this sense of fun of just going and starting from scratch. It's been a while since I hit that get started from scratch button on HostGator, since I got to see how easy WordPress is to build from scratch. And they're sophisticated tools that I got carried away with. And I said, I got to go be with my kids. I don't have endless hours now. So I stopped it and went simple. It's been a while since I had that creative experience. If you're out there and listening to me and you haven't had that, really, don't pretend that you understand this. Don't pretend it's too easy for you. Get into it by going to hostgator.com/Mixergy. When you do, you're going to get the cheapest price that they have. And frankly, the price is cheap already. Super effective service. There was one mistake with an SSL that I did where my site kept saying not secure. I texted them. I called them. They answered within 12 minutes. Actually, I called them. I texted and then I switched a call. I was so amazed that I got my solution within 12 minutes. I took a screenshot of my call with them. I don't know who I'm going to prove that it took me 12 minutes to get. Anyway, that's how happy I am. That's how happy you'll be. I better shut up because I see Barry just sitting there going, is this the way this works? Andrew's going to talk forever. I'm
thinking we need to use HostGator. I hope that Blue's taking a note. We need HostGator probably.
Blue, they're great.
We could be improving our website right now.
Use this URL, Blue. Do me a favor. HostGator.com/Mixergy. I set it up for Drew from the zoo. I could set it up for anyone and you guys should also it up for yourselves. HostGator.com/Mixergy. Super low price, great service. All right.
Listen, here's one of the things that you made me think of when you were talking about that is that everything you just said is true for Drew from the zoo is true for any of your listeners. Like, what's great about right now is it's like the ultimate reset button. It's the ultimate reinvention opportunity, like unprecedented time, unprecedented opportunity. And going back to those high ticket offers, like if you've been sitting on the sidelines and debating hosting your first event, You can host a virtual event right now. There's literally no overhead. It's like virtually no overhead to do it. If you're a host that's been running live events in person and you've been thinking about changing the way you do it or changing your offer, literally unprecedented time, unprecedented opportunity, unprecedented offer. Audiences are so forgiving right now because they just want leadership and content, connection and community. And if you can bring that to them, you can totally play with the model and say, I may never do this again. I'm doing this just because.
Right.
It's awesome.
And then, well, who speaks at the, like, how do you fill, you did 3 days of content, right?
Yes.
And it's all getting speakers who are friends of the organizer, right?
It is. But in some cases, like Jeff Walker's event last week, PLF Live, it was 90% Jeff. We had a couple of his coaches come in and speak and his son spoke, but it was for the most part, the Jeff Walker show.
Let's go back to how you got started. Before you were doing this, let me look at your LinkedIn profile. Before you were doing this, you were a sales manager at Council on Education and Management. What's that?
Yeah, so that was one of the worst jobs I ever had, with all deference.
What was it?
But I sold sponsorships. It was literally dialing for dollars. It was cold call sales. I've been in events since high school, really. I was the person that planned the prom. I was the person that did all the sorority fundraisers. Like, I've always loved events, and it was my first job out of college. But I took this little like hard left at one point and thought, people had said, you'll be great at sales. I'm like, okay, great. I'm gonna try that. Hated it. Like, that was a miserable job. It was literally just sitting at your desk dialing for dollars. But it gave me a really good sense of what sponsors really want, how to structure packages that really serve them instead of just trying to sell them anything right off the sheet.
What did you learn? You're talking about selling sponsorships for events.
Yeah, basically IAR, Council on Education Management, basically would go find a niche that was underserved, create a show. We'd get some great people from that industry to speak on the show. And my job was to sell sponsors on underwriting the cost of the show.
Sorry, I'm unmuting myself. Good etiquette on Zoom is to mute and unmute yourself, you know, like when you're not talking. I had to send my friend a complimentary note about his son, 5 years old, knew how to mute himself when he wasn't talking, unmute himself when he wasn't. I've seen adults who are terrible at that. What did you learn by dialing for dollars? What did you learn about what sponsors wanted that wasn't evident to you before?
Yeah, I learned two things. The first was that most people just try and sell the sponsors off a sheet. Like, we've got 5 packages and they cost this, or 20 packages. Which one do you want? Instead of going to them consultatively, think of sales. This is where I really started the sales as service philosophy that we use today. If you serve people first, you can sell them easy. Serve them hard, sell them easy. So I go to them instead and say, tell me a little bit about your business. Tell me what is really big for you right now. Tell me what you're really trying to get in front of your customers. Tell me if you love speaking on stage. I'd find out a little bit about who they were and what they wanted, and then structure the package to serve the want and structure the price point to serve the budget that they had. So rather than just sell them something off the shelf, it was consultative. And that led to, you know, being really good at sales. But it really led to my second aha, which is, I don't love sales. I love live events. And I ultimately got fired from that job because I kept missing quota, because I kept being down in the event department, seeing what they were doing. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because when I got fired, I was like, I'm just going to start my own thing. It's when I started Sage. I'm like, it can't be worse than this. I mean, I've gotten fired. So what's the worst thing that can happen if I start this business and it doesn't work? I'm going to have to go get a job anyway. So I'll try and create one. If it doesn't work, then I'll get a job.
How'd you get your first client?
Yeah, so this is an interesting story. So I opened my doors. A bedroom in my house was my first office. And I was like, you know, getting my business, doing all the mistakes entrepreneurs make, like getting a website, getting my business cards printing, getting a logo, doing all that before I ever had a client, as if it mattered. It doesn't matter. Clients don't care about that. But what really ultimately happened was, the group that I used to work in house for heard that I was starting my own gig and came to me and said, you know, we heard you're starting your own thing. Would you be willing to take us on as a client? And that client literally led to me meeting Glazer Kennedy Insider Circle through this roundabout way. And Bill and Dan hired me to plan their events. And from there, my business literally just exploded, because we, from the very first event, planned it very differently than what they were used to and their attendees were used to. And it started the referral-based business that we have today.
Glazer Kennedy, I don't know them, but now I see Bill Glazer and Dan Kennedy, marketing gurus. They founded, Kennedy founded the Psycho Cybernetics Foundation? Wow. Okay. It's like self, by the way, I love that book, Psycho-Cybernetics. It was prescribed to me by, I've never found a good therapist that I've enjoyed being with, but somebody said, go talk to the therapist who's at the Equinox gym. He was doing hypnosis. He was doing this. He was doing that. It wasn't really working. We finally just said, let's just talk. We talked and he goes, Andrew, I think what you could really benefit from is Psycho-Cybernetics. It'll help you understand that you're focusing on the wrong things and help you get control of what you're focused on. Incredibly helpful. I can't recommend that book enough for people who need that mental focus. So what kind of events were they doing at Glaser Kennedy?
I mean, they were really, like you mentioned, the online education space. They had, you know, an incredible portfolio of courses, and they did two live events a year, in-person events that were designed to bring entrepreneurs together and introduce them to content connection and community, and basically then sell them on their own programs. And they did a lot of speakers. Like, it was a multi-speaker event with a lot of upsells and downsells and that kind of thing.
Each speaker sold something from the back of the room, that type of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of that. And at that time, that was a really big thing, like a buffet of speakers who are going to sell you products and courses. And, you know, you buy at the back of the room. Our job was to create a stampede at the back of the room. But again, it led to my next aha in this industry, which was I really don't love that kind of environment. I don't love that heavy, high testosterone sales environment. And I found that if you served people instead of focused on selling them, the sales came easier than if you focused on selling them. So I started working with someone named Allie Brown, and really started pioneering the sales as service approach, you know, for the female market, because women don't love that high pressure sales. It's not a thing. They don't love it. And so I said, Allie, why don't we just take this different approach? You know, let's focus on serving people before selling them. And she loved that. And she was really good at that. We started pioneering that. Other people started watching. For years, I had basically a business that was helping women entrepreneurs coach other women entrepreneurs. But what started happening is our conversion metrics were so much higher than the men were getting that the men started coming and saying, hey, you know, show us what you're doing over here. Can you do this for us? And we realized it wasn't gender specific, that everybody likes being served versus sold.
You know what? I knew that I interviewed her a while back. It looks like it was back in 2009. And the headline was, this is back when I was focused on revenue much more so than I am now. It was how she did $3.8 million in sales. What sticks out for me in my mind with her, though, was her attention to detail and design and personal brand. Like, she had Ally Magazine, which was a magazine that she created. I can't imagine it was a big revenue generator, which maybe you'd tell me otherwise. But it was this sense of there's substance, there's something tangible, there's something that looks different, that's a differentiator.
We worked with her. That was over the period that Allie and I worked together. And the event that we produced for her was an event called Shine that was designed to service female entrepreneurs and to help them grow their coaching business or their whatever business, just to help them grow their business. And, you know, Allie was a real leader in this industry. I mean, she took all the things that Glaser Kennedy taught and that really kind of manly, you know, high testosterone environment, softened it. It was all the same information. It was just really, to your point, rebranded for women to make it easier for them to access and to embrace and to use. And I mean, to this day, she's an amazing coach that helps build, you know, multi seven figure businesses.
So what did you do to make the event live up to that approach, to that attention to detail?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing that's making the virtual events work. Like, if you go back to why are people sticking with us in a virtual event for 3 days, is it's an extreme attention to touch, you know, to high touch environment. It's why we have an in-person registration. It's why we have gamification on the dashboard. It's why we have a dashboard to make it easy. It's not like you have to keep searching for that link. You go to the same place every time, you click a button where you want to go and it takes you there.
Well, give me an example, you know, like back when it was a live event. You know that Allie's got this sense of brand, everything needs to feel good. How did you translate that into a live experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is first of all, it's from before they arrive. I think it's the communication before they arrive. It's the touch points before they arrive that set the tone for the kind of experience they're going to have when they get there in person. So you have to think about this. If people have to get on a plane, and women are a tough market, right? Which was my market for years and in many ways still is, but you have to think about the fact that they're often a business owner. They're often a mother. They're often a wife. They're wearing a lot of hats. They're doing a lot of things at home. So for them to step away, get on a plane, spend the money, take the time away, convince their spouse to let them go, it has to be really worth it. And so you have to start beforehand telling them how great it's going to be and how life-changing it's going to be. And then you have to live up to that when they get there. So those touch points of when they show up at the front desk and having a letter waiting and having a gift in their room and having an extraordinary registration experience and then wowing them the minute they walk in the doors. I mean, Allie was one of the best at this. You know, like I remember one event we did for her. It looked like a normal stage. But when the lights came on, like crowd blinders behind it, you realize that there was a band behind it. And then we slowly lifted it up and, you know, this country band started playing. That's how we kicked off the show. And then we had these awesome hot cowboys bring Allie out on their arm in an amazing dress. And I mean, you know, that from the very first minute, these women were like, yes, this was worth leaving home for. And, you know, that's what you want to do. You want to give them some fun. You want to create a show, give them a moment.
But is that you coming up with like a checklist of things to pay attention to or moments to pay attention to and then brainstorming with your client?
It is. I mean, we have an overarching structure for a 3-day event, what we call the 3x3 PAG, three things that you have to hit each day to make the event work. So that's the overarching structure. Content, connection, community on day one, pain solution invitation on day two, and decision commitment celebration on day three. That's macro. And I went through those quickly, but you know, that's macro. The micro is another 500 touch points. So at Sage, every event we produce has 500 touch points we have to hit for it to be a Sage quality event. And then of course, all of those are customized for our clients based on who their audience is and what they're trying to accomplish. But those touch points matter. I mean, it's the difference between just hurting people into a ballroom and creating a truly memorable experience that not only has them wanting more from you there, which is important with a high ticket event, but has them coming back the next year and the year after that. And more importantly, recruiting people to come with them. You know, if we produce an event really well, the highest honor is they show up the next year and brought five friends with them who were like, you just have to experience this. It's amazing. And that's how you build a brand in the event space.
All right. I've written down some notes to come back and follow up with you on. One note is I want to know about like what the 3x3 is. I think you're right. You did go by it really fast and I want more details. Yeah. The 500 touch points, what are they? How do you do it right? I also am curious about Tony Robbins. He's obviously a great showman. He's somebody whose events are so good. I've had salespeople give that as gifts and get it as gifts and feel like that is an ultimate thing to get, which frankly, it's a great experience. It's a memorable one. I've had friends come back in tears, change lives from going to, anyway, how do you get him as a client and what do you do with him? And then earlier you said, I'm going to tell you about a smaller event and a bigger event. I didn't let you finish the bigger event because I'm me and I just keep going off on different tangents. Why don't I quickly though do an ad for my second sponsor? It's ClickFunnels. You've had them on as a sponsor. You've done their event. What's amazing about their event?
Okay. So first of all, I love Russell and his team, you know, his team of partners and his team, his event team. They're amazing. You know, it's funny with Funnel Hacking Live, we have, this is interesting, the event within the event, which is there are 200 team members that we're managing at any Funnel Hacking Live event. So you've got 4,000 attendees, and we're making sure they have an incredible experience. But when you take the Sage team, the event team, the ClickFunnels team, and all the locals that we bring in to help support, you've got 200 team members and you're managing their experience too. What I most love about Russell is that he approaches his event like it's a rock concert for entrepreneurs on some level. You know, just the first time I worked with Tony was actually, I don't know, probably 10 years ago for Speaker and Author Networking Group. But the last two times that we did a Funnel Hacking Live event, we had Tony speak on their stage. And he's just amazing. And part of it is because he brings that rock vibe. I mean, you've got the lights, you've got the sounds, you've got the jumping up and down. Like you're transporting people to a completely different place. And he gets that. Like you have to pattern interrupt their normal day to day to get them to think differently. Russell gets that, which is why he brings Tony in. But, you know, nothing happens on Russell's stage that isn't like, how can we wow them? He leads everything with how can we wow them? So if you think about the ClickFunnels, this is true of everything they do. And it's why you should listen to their podcast because they model this in everything. But we just did their last event in January. And basically, they had this massive LED wall was the backdrop. And Russell's like, I want it to split in half every time a speaker comes out. Like, just move the wall and let the speaker walk through the middle with the crowd blinder and smoke and music. And so, you know, we spent months figuring that out. And then, of course, at the last minute, he made some changes and tweaked it. We had to redo it all over again. But it was so awesome, right? Because that's what you do when you're an amazing entrepreneur, is every time you have another idea that is better than the last one, you find a way to make it happen.
So his podcast is Traffic Secrets, and I want everyone to go and sign up to it. It's available for free on whatever they're listening to me on. He talks a lot about how to get traffic to your website, get people from Facebook, from Instagram, from all these different platforms, from Google. But episode number 5 is the reason that he was able to get Tony Robbins to speak at his event. He talks about something called the Dream 100. That is where he sat down and wrote a list of 100 people who he wanted to be in business with somehow because they had his audience. And then he started obsessing on them. And he told me in the interview that I did with him how he connected with Tony Robbins. He stayed in touch with him. And as a result of that, Tony Robbins had reached out to him. He reached out to Tony, and they were able to do work together, like having Tony Robbins speak at the event. So we're talking about big traffic, how to get it to your site and convert it, obviously, using a funnel. But also, sometimes it's just small, 100 ideal people, maybe 50 of which will end up bringing you their customers, their audience, their tribe. And so if you're listening to me, you're going to love his podcast. It's called Traffic Secrets. His idea, by the way, everything has to be a secret, because if he names it something secret, everybody wants to go and pay attention and see what it is. So this is the secrets to getting traffic. I highly recommend his book called Traffic Secrets. And this podcast is him breaking down the concepts from the book and telling them in an interesting way. Go sign up to it in whatever podcast app you're listening to me on right now. All right. Traffic Secrets. And of course,
yeah, and
SEO.
You just nailed it. One of the things I was going to say I love about Russell the most is his ability to break things down and keep them super simple, so they're super actionable.
Yeah. He's also like a real believer in the self-improvement stuff. Are you a self-improvement person still?
I am. So, you know,
you
a funny story. I was with Tony recently, and I was saying to him, like, you know, my very first experience in personal development was going to a Peter Lowe seminar. I had like nosebleed seats. I mean, it was a big stadium. I don't even know if the Lowe's are still around, but it was basically a big stadium thing. Tony was speaking there, and I won his like CD set on personal development. It was like Unleash the Power Within. I think it was like amazing. I thought I'd won the lottery. And that really was one of my first experiences with, you know, you can change your environment. You know, I came from a 9-to-5 family. My dad, you know, had like a 9-to-5 job fixing copiers. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. You know, we kind of lived on the wrong side of the tracks. People like us did not go out and create their own businesses. And to this day, my family thinks I'm kind of nuts. I mean, you know, entrepreneurs are nuts, right? But like, where'd she come from? I don't really know what created that in me, but you know, there's always been this need to want to do more and have more and be more. And so when I found that, I was like, oh, there is literally a path for this. Like, you don't have to reinvent. Like, someone can show you exactly how to do this, so you don't have to keep beating your head into that same wall, which is awesome. That's why I love this space.
I like a little bit of the tactics that you started to talk about earlier. 3x3. That means 3 days, and each of the 3 days, you have your own 3-day checklist of things that you want to do. What's on day number one? What are you doing?
Yeah, it's super simple, and it's to keep it simple, super macro view, because a lot of people make live events so much harder than they need to be. So the first that we really believe in is your day one is to create content, give them incredible content, like over deliver, but don't overwhelm. The second is incredible connection to the host, connection to each other. But this is the most important one. Connection to this belief that they can do more. Like, get that idea ignited in them and get them reconnected to being more, to doing more, to that sense of opportunity. And then the last one is to connect them to like-minded community. So content, connection, community, super easy. Like, the goal is at the end of the day, they feel like, if I had to leave right now, this is time and money well spent. I've had so many aha moments. I've made so many great connections. I feel so much more inspired. Like, this is great, but I still have 2 more days, which is awesome. Which leads to day two. Day two is pain, solution, invitation. And what generally happens if you've done content, connection, community right for 2 days is that by midway through day two, which is halfway through a 3-day event, people are going to say, I can see where I want to be and I know where I am. And the pain, the distance between where I want to be and where I am, creates a very real pain. Like, the more I can see it, the more I want it. And then the more unhappy I am with where I am right now. If you're an entrepreneur, you really get this. Like, it is a very real pain. And the good news is there's a solution, and that comes in the form of an invitation. And the invitation is our call to action. Only you can do the work, but you don't have to do it alone. So join us and we'll help you get there faster. So pain solution invitation. And then day three is decision commitment celebration. And so our goal with decision is that you never come to an event that Sage produces without deciding on the last day to do something different when you get home. Like, do not let it be three wasted days. You have to decide to do something different. And then if that decision includes working with us on an extended basis, and by us, I mean the host, the client of ours, then you commit to being in the program, and we celebrate because we start the program at lunch that day. So decision, commitment, celebration.
And then at lunch that day, if they're signing up to a mastermind or something, they're going to having that meeting right there, day number one.
We start right there. Absolutely. We want to celebrate them saying yes to themselves.
All right. That makes sense. And then when you give me the breakdown of each day, does that mean that it's on like all the other speakers to support those goals every day?
Absolutely. In fact, I think it's a really big mistake to put speakers on your stage who don't know what your bigger goal is. Like, how are they going to do a great job at your event without any context of why you've invited them to be there and what the bigger goal is, not just for you, but for your audience? You're taking the audience on a three-day journey. So even the best speakers, they show up and they have no idea what context is. They could wow the audience. And I had this happen actually recently. A really big name. I will not say who. I cannot say who, but a really big name in the space right now. Top author. She puts on her own event. She's a big name. She came on the stage and she was like wowing the audience. They absolutely loved her. And most of her message was the opposite of what the whole event was about. It was tough. Like, you're at the back of the room just, you know, it's a tough one. That's hard. And it happens, right? I mean, she didn't mean to do it. It wasn't her intention to do it. She gave a great performance and the audience did love her, but it was completely counter to the foundation of what we were teaching that audience. So, you know, I think it's really critical. You don't assume that your speakers know what you want them to do and how to best serve your audience.
All right. And then the touch points. What do you mean by 500 touch points? I'm assuming that if you give a gift in their room, that's a touch point. The greet is a touch point. It's stuff like that.
It is. I mean, even touch points are having a person in the hallway, a human being, not just a sign, directing traffic so that everybody knows exactly where they're supposed to go, like breadcrumbs along the way. Those are touch points that the audience no longer has to worry about how to get somewhere. And then once they see that your team has got it, they just kind of follow you blindly. Like, I'm sure this team's going to tell us where to go. Where do we go? And you show them.
And Barry, are you literally sitting down with a notepad with a spreadsheet and writing out 500 different touch points for each event?
Well, we have scripted the 500 touch points that we think make a great live event. And then we customize them to the client based on the vision for their event and their own brand DNA. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, we want it to feel like a Sage event. We have high expectations, what we call expectations plus on our side, but we also want it to feel like the host. I mean, Russell's event feels different than Jeff's event, which feels different than Dean Graziosi's event, which feels different than Pete Vargas's event. And that's important. Like, your brand has its own DNA. So we want to honor that, but we do that within making sure that all those touch points are in place so that it's a smooth, seamless event.
All right. Tony Robbins, you were saying that you got him as a client. How did you get him as a client?
Yeah. So it's interesting. He actually came in through Dean Graziosi. So he and Dean recently launched something called Knowledge Broker Blueprint, KBB. And, you know, it's an amazing program. They did one of the most epic launches in our industry's history together 2 years ago, followed by a really epic launch again this year. And so everyone who bought into that program gets to come to the Knowledge Broker World Summit, and we produce that event.
And that was an in-person event?
Yeah. So basically, wow. Dean is the primary client. Tony is a partner in that business, and he speaks on that stage.
Okay. And then you said earlier that you had an example of a big event that you had to switch from offline to online after COVID. What was that?
Yeah. So we work with another client called, his name is Pete Vargas, and he does an event called Reach Live. And he is there for speakers, authors, and influencers who want to learn how to harness the power of stages to grow their business. And we were supposed to do an event. Last year was 600 people. This year it was going to be 1,000. So like, great, 1,000 people. That's awesome, in Orlando. And then COVID hit. We had a little over 3 weeks to pivot. And so we took it virtual, and we went from 1,000 people in person to 3,000 virtually. And, you know, it was pretty interesting purpose-driven payday. Not only did we serve more people, we went from 1,000 to 3,000, but we ended up having, you know, the year before we did about 2.5 million in that weekend. This year we did about 7.5. So, you know, it's an exponential increase in people served and in revenue generated.
He's phenomenal. I mean, like I didn't know much about him except I got invited to one of his events on a boat. I got to hear him speak. I got to see the people who he helped speak, and then I got it, I think, at that point. If I'd met him after knowing his online persona or that what he was doing online, I think I wouldn't have gotten it, but I got it to know him as a person. And so it's impressive. And God knows I'm now on his website, Advance Your Reach. I could see the people who he's worked with who are.
Yeah, he's a powerhouse. And, you know, he's a brand that was built, it feels like, virtually overnight. 3 years ago, I feel like not many people knew who Pete was. And, you know, now he was, you know, I think second on the leaderboard for Pete and Tony, Dean and Tony's launch. And, you know, in his own right, he creates incredible challenges. He just did a 22-day challenge that had, like, I don't know, 100,000 people, and of course just produced this live event. So, you know, I think what's interesting in this space is that you can do that with live events and with online education. You can literally go from an unknown to, you know, an 8-figure business in 3 years. That's what Pete has done. That's incredible.
Because of the online event, you think he grew?
I think because of events in general, and then the online event was just an extension of that. I mean, the fact that we didn't have to disappoint 1,000 people, that we could literally scale it, not only serve that 1,000, but serve 3,000. I think that is a big piece of this. I think there's not many things that build a brand as quickly as a live event.
Pete is at 1,000 people coming to his event.
He would have had 1,000 in person. He had 3,000 virtually.
That's amazing. Yeah. All right. What's your revenue from all this? Like, what's the revenue at Sage for, say, 2019?
Yeah. So this is interesting. We were just calculating this the other day for something we were doing. And we've been in business 16 years, and we've generated $450 million for our clients. So that number is client revenue. So in the last 16 years, $450 million. And for us, you know, we're about a $3.5 million company that is doing everything in our power to become a $10 million company.
$3.5 million per year in revenue for yourself.
Yes. Yes.
And then from that, you pay the people who run the events,
Yeah. So, you know, at Sage, from the very first day, we've really believed in having full-time employees. So our full-time team who work exclusively with us and take those 500 touch points and implement them over and over again, work here in our offices in South Carolina. A couple of them are virtual, but for the most part, work in our offices in South Carolina. And then we have brand ambassadors that we've taught the Sage way. And they're in different cities, in our primary cities, and we bring them in to support as needed.
You've got an event coming up. I think we're going to publish this just before the event. What is this event that you're doing? This is an event for yourself, right?
Yes. So this is an event for us. So a number of people came to us and said, now that you're doing virtual events and you figured out this pivot and you figured out how to do Zoom at scale, can you show us how? Like, our phone has been ringing off the hook and there aren't enough hours in the day to answer all the questions about virtual events. So we thought, you know, let's create the virtual event on virtual events. That's really the name of the event, the virtual event on virtual events. So it's easy to remember. And it's 3 days. It's May 29th through the 31st. It's virtual, of course. And, you know, not only do you get to experience a virtual event as an attendee, but we're going to peel back the curtain and show you exactly how to produce a virtual event, whether you're doing it for 5 people, 50, 500, or 5,000.
And make it a 3-day event? That seems like a big commitment. That's why I keep getting so hung up on 3-day event.
Yeah. But
get people to sit for 3 days online on Zoom?
Yeah, but you're not just sitting. I mean, you know this, Andrew, if you've been in a space where you're really inspired and you could see something that you couldn't see before, and you're continuing to get information and ahas and having connections and interactions that help make it really real for you, you get addicted to that. It doesn't feel like 3 days. I mean, it feels, you know, it's like, first of all, a great 3 days, but I think that time flies. Good old saying, time flies when you're having fun, but it's really true. I mean, I don't think it feels like 3 days when every minute you're scripting your own transformation, whether it's personal or business, whether you're an entrepreneur or a dog trainer, it doesn't really matter. You know, 3-day events are designed to ignite and inspire and get ideas into action.
All right. Where do we find out about it? I'm on your website. It's poweredbysage.com. I don't see it there.
Yeah. So the virtualevent.live is where you go, the virtualevent.live. And it's normally a $297 ticket, but I think for your Mixergy listeners, they get $200 off. So for them, it's just $97. You just put the promo code Mixergy at checkout, and there you go. It's hard to beat that. Listen, if you spend $97, you only come for one day, you'll be in a good place. But at $97, not only do you get that, but you get two pretty amazing bonuses in addition to the 3-day, getting to experience a virtual event and learn about them. One is our course on how to do strategy sessions, which we usually sell for $9.97. And the other is our course on how to overcome objections in sales, which we normally sell for $19.97. It's one of the things we're most known for in our sales as service methodology is not arm twisting people into making a decision, but guiding them into it from a sales as service perspective.
Have you done this before? Like taught your process before, or is this just you coming out because things are different?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we created a course last year called Rush the Live Event Blueprint, but it's all about in-person events, right? And so we were about to do an affiliate launch this year on that when COVID hit. It's hard to get people to take a course on how to do an in-person event when you can't run an in-person event. But the cool thing that we figured out is 80% of what works in-person also works in virtual, 80%. The 20% that's different is tech and touch. So much of what we taught in Rush, we're going to be teaching at the virtual event on virtual events, which is what is that sales as service approach that allows you to make high ticket offers, whether they're in-person or virtual? And then what are those touch points that you need to integrate into a virtual event to get people to stay with you for 3 days, to get them to show up, and then to get them to stick, and then ultimately to get them to buy?
Basically, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm looking you up right now to see, is there like some kind of religious thing that kept you from freaking out when this happened? Is there something else that I'm missing? Like, why did you not freak out? How did you just make this pivot and suddenly go from in-person to online and have it work out?
Yeah, in the last 60 days. I mean, you know, I think part of it is I have a really incredible business partner and life partner, my husband, Blue. I mean, he's an incredible human. We've built this business together. We really believe in what we do. We really believe in what our clients do. And we really believe that events are that stone in a pond. The ripple effect is huge. You know, what we do creates transformation for not just the people we're helping, but generations of their families after them. Like, we believe that to our core. So you can't just sit back and not do something. And we have employees, and we have not laid anyone off. We have not reduced their salaries, and we're really proud of that. Like, they're an amazing team. They've worked really hard to get where they are, and we want to keep them. So we didn't have the luxury of not pivoting. You just, it's what you do. You just, you know, it's what entrepreneurs do.
I gotta tell you, I think that there are a lot of people who would have said, everyone's gonna understand, we can't make this happen. We're going to take a couple of months. Give me a couple of weeks to just catch my breath here and then see what's acceptable in this new world and what's not, what works and what's not. Is it okay to charge people when there's a virus going on in the world? Is it okay? Right. Cause I saw a lot of people in my messages come in and say, Andrew, I'm giving away my whole course for free. So I thought maybe we're in a world where you can't charge, or else you're the bad guy who's charging. And then it turned out that it was fine to charge. The Wall Street Journal this morning did a piece on how online education for adults is a breakout hit. Did you see that?
I haven't seen it, but I believe it.
I was shocked that it got to the level of the Wall Street Journal. That's and when they started breaking down the sources that they refer to, I realized I thought I knew all the players in the space, but there are a bunch I hadn't considered that people are turning to now that they're at home. Anyway.
Well, and think about this. I mean, there's someone like that for every group. Like, I mentioned dog trainers before. I mean, you know, there's a woman who's an expert in training dogs. There's a person who's an expert in training people who own dog. I mean, you could take any industry, literally any hobby, any interest, and there's someone out there who's amazingly good at that and wants to train other people. You know, like attracts like. And so there is that opportunity. And I think at a time like this, people need you now more than ever. Like, if you've been thinking about starting a business, or you've been stopped in your tracks by COVID, I think you owe it to yourself and to your people to get out there and get creative and know that, I mentioned this earlier, but I so believe it, there's never been a better time. Like, this is the perfect reset and reinvention opportunity. If you've been wanting to try anything new, like for us, there was a little bit of that excitement of like, we've been doing in-person events really well for 16 years. What about if we just took this opportunity to do them differently? Like, yeah. This would be hard to do. If you think about it, Andrew, like to go to our clients who we generate millions for in a weekend. Like, I mean, I don't think Russ would mind me saying we generate $15 million in a weekend at Funnel Hacking Live. It's a big payday. But to go to them and it's working and say, hey, I tell you what, why don't we just try this virtual thing? They're like, no, it's working right. The way it's working. But now you have this opportunity. And now that it's proven, people are like, oh yeah, it's an and, not nor. Like next year, who cares if COVID's here or not? We want to do an in-person event and a virtual event.
All right. You're right. This is absolutely exciting. It just, the thing that I keep remembering is something that you mentioned earlier, which is people will forgive mistakes right now. I was thinking about the woman in the Upper West Side, Manhattan, who I interviewed, who owns a gym there. I know the Upper West Side. I know Manhattanites. They want everything just right. They're demanding it. The reason they pay high rent, the reason that they are who they are is that they're highly demanding people. She was doing her in-person sessions on Zoom. I said, are you seeing any issues? What's the problem? She had what seems like very basic Zoom issues for us. Like we've solved it. It's Zoom to me is second nature. I see how tough it is. She had issues where her class was shutting down in the middle because she was so cheap. She didn't buy an account for every member of her team. They were supposed to like shift the user account. And so within 40 minutes, her Zoom shut off. I said, were people upset? I know people are going to be upset in Manhattan for little issues. She said, no, people are very forgiving right now. They understand we're trying to figure it out. We're at a moment where people are forgiving and we got to jump and do something. And we can't, I think a lot of people also feel guilty. Should I be doing well right now? Should I even strive for something? This doesn't seem like the right time. No, you better. We better. Who knows what's coming up in the future? This is the time to set ourselves up. And we owe it to ourselves to take these risks and to build.
Well, and more importantly, you owe it to your people. I mean, I think about it not as being opportunistic, but as creating an opportunity. It's not just about you. It's about the audience you serve. I mean, you deserve to be paid for the work you do. And I think, quite frankly, people don't value things they get for free. That we expect as a culture to pay for things we want. So yeah. If you're creating something that people want and you are in integrity and you really are delivering value, why should you not be paid for that? And why should you assume that your audience isn't willing or even wants to pay for it? I think it's a disservice to assume of your audience that they need to have it for free. And it's a disservice for you to give it away for free.
All right. All of my questions, you see, I have my stylus here, my Apple Pencil. I crossed off every question that I had for you. And I wrote down notes. And the one thing that I didn't write down was the URL. When I typed it in, it redirected me. And now I don't have the actual URL. Where are we sending people if they want to go see this live event that you're doing?
Fantastic. It's thevirtualevent.live. So thevirtualevent.live. And that gets you a 3-day pass, you know, $97 essentially just for your audience. You're going to get a $200 discount. So it's just $97 for you. Includes those two bonuses. And it's 3 days with yours truly and my husband Blue. We're going to walk you through the virtual event on virtual events, exactly how you can do it too.
The virtual event on virtual events is coming up. It's going to be a few days after we publish this interview. We're going to rush this interview out so that we can get it up for it. I get no commission from it. I don't even know if we're ever going to meet each other again, though I'd love to do at some point an event with you. I love the attention to detail. Every part of the interaction has been fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this. And I thank the two sponsors who made this interview happen. The first, look, if you're hosting your website right now, need a better price, this is a time to move to HostGator. Just let them do the work. Go to HostGator.com/Mixergy, sign up, let them migrate you. Number one, or if you need a new business, do what I did for my man, Drew from the Zoo. Go to HostGator.com/Mixergy and host for him. And finally, now that this interview is over, go to Russell Brunson's new podcast. Really, this is a time to listen. It's called Traffic Secrets. He's going to whisper a secret in your ear via podcast. Traffic Secrets, available in every single podcast app player that you can. He's never going to go exclusive to just Spotify the way Joe Rogan is. He wants everybody to hear his message, Traffic Secrets.